Good morning.
Morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, that was all right. We got to try it again. I know it's early. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I love it. Amen. Our call to worship this morning comes from Matthew chapter 28. Oh, man. My eyes haven't woken up yet. I can't see any of that. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised." And he said, "Come, see the place where he lay." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are going to sing together this morning. I always love at these sunrise services, it just feels to me like when we think about Mary going to the garden, to the tomb, and I don't think you can do a sunrise service and not sing in the garden, right? It just doesn't feel right. So we're gonna sing together in the garden. The words will be on the screen, and if you want to follow along in your hymnal, it's hymn number 588, and we are going to sing all three verses.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the sound.
Joy we share.
Amen. So I hope that you've been enjoying this series that we've been doing. It's been a lot of fun for me to put all this stuff together as we've been taking all these Old Testament passages and linking them to what happened during this last week of Jesus' life. And thinking about, I had everything planned out. I had all the sermons planned out with Easter included, and then all of a sudden about a week ago, I thought, well, I've got another sermon I got to figure out for sunrise service. And as I said earlier, to me, the sunrise service is all about the garden. It's all about this thinking about this early morning visit to the tomb and the amazement that they had. And I did a little digging, and I found a passage from Isaiah that will help us link up to that. So, you know, here we are. The sun is up because none of us wanted to do this at 7 o'clock. But as the sun rises in the morning, and I don't know if you've had a chance to go outside and listen to the birds in the morning this week. I think it was Monday that I went outside. I go outside every morning to fill the beast, my wood boiler, to throw more wood in the wood boiler. And I was standing out there, and I just stopped because I could just hear all kinds of birds. Of course, we have geese on the pond, so they were honking away. But just all around me, there were all these birds, and I thought, spring is here. And it's just, you know, where we live, it's very quiet. It's one of the things I love about it back there. It's nice and peaceful and quiet, and that's all I could hear was the birds. It was just a beautiful thing. And it was a situation like that. It was early in the morning, and Mary and the other Mary and Salome, it says in the Bible, they came to the tomb, and they went there because it was part of the whole ritual that when somebody dies, you put them in the tomb, and after so many days, you go in there, and they bring spices and fragrances to anoint the body. And that's why they were going to the tomb. And as we read earlier, they had quite the shock and surprise when they got there. But it was in a setting like that, in the garden, that the prophet Isaiah told us what God would do. Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 3, says this. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. In verse 3 there, he says, the Lord will comfort Zion, for he will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden. And we hear that word Zion. Zion is another word that the Bible uses often for Jerusalem, or more specifically, the mountain where the temple was built, the mount in the middle of the city of Jerusalem. They call that Zion. And also it's used kind of, you know, for the people of Zion, people of Jerusalem. And if we think about when Isaiah was written, Jerusalem had been destroyed. The temple had been destroyed, and the people of Jerusalem were in exile in Babylon. So the people are exiled, they're away from their home, they're away from Jerusalem, they don't have access to the temple. And when we think of wilderness, we often think of the wilderness when the Israelites left Egypt and they were on their way to the promised land. But this was a new wilderness for the Israelites. Their temple had been destroyed, their city had been destroyed, and they were now subjects in Babylon. But God says in that, I will comfort you. I'm going to turn your ruins, your wilderness, into a garden again. This language of Eden, right? We know the Garden Eden from the creation story, that God created this perfect, beautiful place for his people. That's the language he's using here. He will make her wilderness like Eden, like this beautiful, lush, amazing garden. It's resurrection language. It's new life. From the waste places of our lives, God brings new creation. From death, he brings life. From the cross, he brings resurrection. I read that story from Matthew a little bit ago, but I want you to hear it also from John chapter 20. Mary stood outside, weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at her feet, and they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around, and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She recognized his voice. She turned to him and she said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. So here she is. She's distraught. She's upset. She's sad. She's grieving. And Jesus' body is gone. And she turns and she sees this person. And you go, how in the world could she not recognize Jesus? She wasn't expecting to see Jesus because she thought he was dead, and now she thought somebody had taken his body. But she turns and he says, "Why are you weeping?" And I love that it says that she supposed that he was the gardener. And I love that because God is a gardener, right? We hear that earlier in John chapter 15. Jesus says, "I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener." A lot of translations say that he's the vine dresser, and I was looking into that word, and that word can be used as farmer or vine dresser or gardener. But my Father is the gardener. Jesus, God, is a gardener. He loves to cultivate. Think of how many stories we have in the Gospels, especially, that talk about agricultural things. We have the parable of the sower and all these times that we talk about the wheat and the tares and all these agricultural themes. And part of that is because the Bible was written in a time where agricultural was a huge, huge part of life. But also because God is in the business of growing things. He's in the business of life and rejuvenation and regeneration. And he does that not only in Jesus in the tomb, but he does that in our lives as well. So Jesus is not only risen from the tomb, but he's restoring. He's the new Adam, bringing life where there was death. Romans talks about this. We've been studying Romans. I don't know if you can remember all the way back to Romans chapter 5, But there's this section where Paul talks about how sin entered the world through one man, Adam. And redemption also enters the world through one man, Jesus. Adam was the firstborn of humanity, and Jesus is the firstborn of the resurrection. He's the first to conquer death, and he brings us with. He promises that as he has new life, so we can have new life in him. So just as God walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Christ walks in the garden in the light of the dawn with Mary. Isaiah 51 continues, says, "Joy and gladness will be found in her," her being Jerusalem, or the people of Jerusalem, the Israelites. "Thanksgiving and the voice of song." That is resurrection joy. That is the Easter gladness that we have. Because not because everything is perfect, not because everything is fixed, but because in the middle of the mess of life, in the middle of the brokenness, God is restoring. God is at work gardening and tilling and watering and bringing new life where wilderness exists. Life has broken through. So the gardener is at work. The gardener is at work in your wilderness. He's at work in your brokenness. He's at work in your grief, in the quiet places of your life, those places where hope seems to be buried. God is bringing new life. So this morning, as light breaks in today, let the promise of Isaiah settle into your soul, that he will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. So let the song begin. He is risen. The gardener lives. Amen. We're going to sing together King of Kings. Words will be on the screen, and they're also printed in your bulletin if you need that. I invite you to stand if you're able while we sing. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel and shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. Praise forever to the King of kings.
Two quick announcements before we go. I hope you're hungry because we have breakfast for you in the fellowship hall. And I hope that you'll be able to join us next week, Sunday. Next Sunday we're calling Celebration Sunday. We're going to celebrate all of the hard work that's been done to renovate the sanctuary. We're hoping to have some of the contractors here so we can thank them for all their hard work. We're just going to celebrate the work that God has done here and that he continues to do in and through us. So as you leave this morning, go knowing that the gardener is at work, turning your wilderness and your dark places into like the Garden of Eden. Go in peace. Amen.